views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is September the 3rd, the ninth month. The year is already blown by. Summer's gone. It's the ninth month of the year. Wow, what was I quick? So today is Monday, the 3rd of September 2018. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to having that live show with you all. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, please give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. I will see you in queue and definitely will bring you up. And before we get going, today's show, looking forward to it. I got my good brother Keith is here as the co-host of the show. Looking forward to sharing some things with you all. So we have a good live show for you today. Today's show, the topic for today's show is the U.S. has become a laggard nation, slowly gripped and inattentive. So that's today's show. Think about that for a minute, and we will get into it. But before we do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, because without your overall financial energy, without your overall financial support, the network will not be able to maintain what it's been doing and what you have deemed as being necessary and valuable. It will go dark. And this platform is too important for it to go dark. So please, if you're an individual that has gained from it, appreciates it, utilizes it daily, please give some of your financial energy so that it can maintain its overall direction and grow. You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, hit the donation prompt, and then that will actually where you can give some of your financial energy by way of a donation to help keep this network on air. All donations, great and small, are greatly, greatly appreciated. You can also support the network by becoming a member of its social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. It's the only place that I post. I don't do anything on Facebook, Twitter, or any of those other projects, because they were actually created to actually exploit you, and they do exploit you on the daily. BTR Community is different, because BTR Community will allow you to promote yourself, your business, and things that you think that need to have more public exposure. And you could benefit from it as well, within reason. Everything is, of course, has to be responsible, because it's a membership. The membership is only $24 a year, not a week, not a month, not every 6 months. It's an annual subscription of only $24 a year. That will also support the network. Very, very important, because on Fedbook and the other platforms, yes, it's convenient. Yes, it's a great gossip channel for the whole world to engage in, but there's a price that goes along with it. And most of us don't know that price that we've been paying because we may not be able to directly see it. But just because you can, I'm going to tell you, what you don't see is more real than what you do see. You may not see that overall cost, but believe me, it is definitely there. And the overall taxes have been paid in a overabundance of in an overabundance of commitment from you all. So get off of FedBook is not the place to be, because actually that's where that actually your overall profile is being used against you. There are people that are gaining access to your personal identity so that they can actually exploit, you know, through identity theft. And there's so many other things. FedBook, which is commonly referred to as Facebook, I call it FedBook, is actually a place that's data mining your information for someone else's benefit. And so come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, and one of the sayings that I have is that the wage of a king and a queen, what is a king and a queen paid? A king and a queen is paid in gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman, what is a lady and a gentleman paid? A lady and a gentleman requires that they be paid by the economy in silver. The wage of a slave, what is a slave paid? A slave is always paid the wage of debt. And that is, we may not like it, but you know, Harriet Tubman had a great, great quote. I freed thousands of slaves. I would have freed thousands of more if they only had known that they were slaves. Many of us don't realize the overall financial enslavement. You can disagree, but a disagreement will not be true. If you are paid in cash, you are a slave to the economy, because every person that's paid in debt is paid. That's a slave's wage. You're not paid an asset. A king and a queen is paid an asset. A king and a queen is paid money. A lady and a gentleman is paid an asset in silver. And I know that that sounds harsh, but hey, I didn't make the overall economic system. You may be mad at the bearer of the bad news, but the thing about that's very important is the attachment to the truth of it all. Call me a lie. Give me a different reason why that's not true. And then you'll see very quickly that it is very true. And what's the best thing and the wisest thing for you to do and the most prudent thing for you to do is, just because you're paid as a slave, which most of us, all of us are, everyone that I know is actually paid a slave's wage. I require that I save myself and my family in real money. And how do you do that? Convert your cash to real money, the great creator, God's money, silver and gold. So very, very, very important that you do that. And you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint. And then once you go there, check out the actual website and then email info@prosperitymint. Tell them it's your Tando Radio Show listener so someone can make sure that you understand the overall buying process to your advantage. If you don't do that, guess what? I will put it this way. It's going to be a much higher cost that you're going to pay, not even knowing that you're going to pay it, because you're not acquiring the precious metals correctly. Just want to make sure that you know the proper way in acquiring the precious metals. Okay. So info@prosperitymint is where you would need to go. All right. So let's get into one more thing. Legacy Wealth Management is having a seminar, a structure seminar on how to legally structure yourself to get the best benefits from your overall tax and protects you legally in the best way. And if you would like to be a part of that seminar, it's going to be September the 15th and 16th in Dallas. If you would like to be a part of that, you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Just say, hey, if you're in the Dallas area, you definitely should be there. If you would like to come to Dallas and be a part of that, there's a hotel, a package that goes along with the overall, your admission to get in. If you'd like to be a part of that, you should. There's a reason why those that have resources are structured in a way to acquire more resources on pennies on the dollar. And this is some of the things that you need to know. And believe me, the overall, with the information that you will find out, you will be quite surprised and glad that you will say that this is some of the best actual information that I've been ever given financially. So we'll be giving a presentation there. We always do very, very well, where I give the last presentation and people actually miss their flight to hear that presentation. They've been sitting under information all day, and they actually wait for our overall presentation. So I greatly appreciate those individuals and the overall commitment that they make to hearing some of the things that we bring to them. And it's quite sobering, which we are always been known to do. And that's one of the things, is that the truth doesn't need you nor I, but you and I definitely need the truth. So come on over, be a part of it. And especially in today's world, we push this information because of the importance of it all. And the importance of it all is that it can actually benefit you. I don't know how many people that I speak to from our relationships saying that, hey, Dave, thanks for the information. You know, I didn't hear that stuff before, didn't know if it was really true, didn't like, wait, who's this guy? And then I check it out and I research and it's like, oh, shoot, yes, it is true. So it has helped many people. And so definitely greatly appreciate that. And I will just say this. One of the things that I've talked to Keith about this before. One of the things that I actually was very disappointed in is that there were some clients that we had in Venezuela, and we got them prepared for the overall collapse of the Venezuelan common person's economy. You know, in Venezuela, the high-end restaurants are full. The high-end restaurants are filled. Because there are individuals in Venezuela that are doing extremely well, and they have actually moved from actually being below the poverty line or middle class to being wealthy beyond their overall means to spend it off, that their families are going to be wealthy. Those that they've yet not named are going to be wealthy. And, you know, it was a pleasure to help a lot of them, but I broke contact with some of them because some of those individuals, they took the overall preparedness that was set up for them. They were right in doing it. But once the benefits of that preparedness came about, their overall, they became the wrong people. They actually took delight in the overall economic distress that the rest of the country was put under, and they gained from it even more, and they wanted to propel and momentumize that overall continuous economic crisis because they are getting wealthy beyond their wildest dreams. And that was something that I knew would happen, and I was always hesitant in dealing with some people because, you know, my thing is that I'm very keen to energy and frequencies. And so if someone displays that type of, you know, energy, I've been actually committed to pick up on that, and I'll just not want to work with that individual because that's not why I think that we should be preparing. We should actually be preparing to seize on the opportunities that we can benefit not only ourselves, our families, but the overall community at large, not exploiting the community. So, and that is going to happen here. And Keith, that's definitely going to happen here. And it's, you know, I'm going to tell you, currency and money have a way of displaying a person's true nature and true character beyond the lies and the of what they say or the personification or the image that they try to portray. But the true constitution of who they are, the true nature of who they are, is really shown when it comes to having a whole bunch or having very little. And it's funny how those two spectrums really does gauge the full capabilities of a person, because everyone is capable of everything. We're all capable of doing some very bad things. We're all capable of doing some very benevolent things, you know? And it's really upon us to choose, where are we? And where is our discipline going to be? Where are we going to be steadfast in? It's not so much from the mistakes that we make. We make good mistakes, and we don't even realize some of the good mistakes we make. Good mistakes would be you happen to fall upon, you did something, you know, that you didn't intend to do. It was a mistake, but it ended up being a big benefit. You know, you can actually go in the wrong direction and have all the right means happen for you. Meaning, like, you mean to turn left and you turn right, and when you turned right, there was a pot of gold that was to the right. Right? That was a mistake, a beneficial mistake. You meant to go to the left. But what you do from how you respond to all of your mistakes is very important. How you look at your mistakes is very, very important. Are we growing from them? Are we excusing them? Are we looking at them and trying to develop ourselves even more? And that's not just in one person's battle. That's everyone's battle. That's something that we all deal with.
And it don't have to be mistakes. It could just be events.
Yeah, it could be just be events. She said it doesn't have to be mistakes. It could just be events. Right. You know, because I always like to say that, you know, 99% of what happens to us is things that are uncontrollable to us. But the most important thing is the 1%, your response to it. How are you going to respond to what has happened to you is critical, because that really determines on who you are, is how you respond, you know. And so, and I really see that there's going to be the common person's economy here that's going to be totally destroyed. And some of you are going to be faced with a different temptation than you ever been faced with before. I will be, you will be, and many will be. And that temptation is going to be, now that you prepared for something to happen, now that that moment has arrived, who are you really going to, how are you going to start to decide your next course of events, your next step? And so I've seen it.
Money has the ability to magnify your character.
Keith said money has the ability to magnify your character. Yes, it definitely, or magnify your free will, how you execute your will. Will you will to do this? And, you know, in Argentina, that was my first time actually seeing the adverse side or the malevolent side of preparing and being prepared. And actually before then I knew it, but I didn't know the degrees of it. I didn't know the true reality of it. I didn't know how it really played out and how it really looked and how it really felt and what were some of the decisions and the things that people do doing that. I knew that that was always a part of it, but it's kind of like you know something can happen, right? But once you it does happen, now you experience what is happened. You know, I always say that, you know, you learn from experience, and I had never ever experienced anything like that. Because I didn't mean to go off on this, but it's very important. I like to go where we're ever going to go. I remember my grandmother, who lived through the Great Depression, telling me all of the stories about the Great Depression, and she told me to prepare for one, because the one that I was going to go through in my lifetime was going to be even greater than the one that she went through. And so she told me about the Great Depression and gave me examples of how things were, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s and everything else. And she was telling me about what happened and everything else. So I had to live off of, I had to, like, you know, live through her experience. I had to live by her stories. And so I remember my grandmother always saying to me, David, the wise heeds good instructions while the fool learns from experience. So I was sitting under her, heeding her instruction to learn, so I wouldn't have to learn from pain. And so I'm sitting under her tutelage about different things. And this is what really sparked me in preparing. And then in 1977, there was the blackout in New York City that really changed my life. as a young man, you know, early teen, when the lights went out in New York City and I couldn't see my hand 2 feet in front of me, I realized that at how much of a disadvantage I was. And everything that my grandmother was saying was now running through my mind. And the first thing that I said was, I'll never allow this to catch me. I'll never, ever be caught unprepared again, because the consequences of this is too great. And many of you that lived through the New York blackout in 77, my man Gary C. remembers where he was and what happened. It was a life-altering thing, completely life-altering, and we wanted to learn from it. So my grandmother would teach me different things about the Great Depression, and I would have to hear it from her, but I had never lived through it. So my grandmother had told me how people had changed. The people that were prepared became extremely wealthy, and then how they used their newfound wealth to impoverish people even more so that they would gain more. And so my grandmother telling me those things was one thing, but then Venezuela came and I saw it for myself. It completely, the difference between believing, I believed my grandmother. There's a difference between believing and knowing. And then once I went through with some of my former clients with Venezuela, now I knew. And it was a huge difference. It was a huge, huge degree of difference. So just wanted to share that with you all. And those things are going to happen here. And I think that it's very important that we properly position ourselves. And it's not just about the monetary thing, but there are so many other things that go along with that. And so I hope that it's significant to you all that you would want to position yourself properly for yourself, your family, and our overall community. And this is why I always put it that way: yourself individually, your family, then the overall community is very, very important. So we're going to get into what's in the news. I got my man Roz on the line, so I want to go to Roz real quick, and then we'll get into what's in the news and get into today's very important show. So let me go open a phone line up for Roz. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio Show, brother. What say you?
Peace and love, brother Dave. How you doing?
What's up, bro? How you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Hey, yeah, I gotta talk to you once we're off the air. But peace to Pastor
okay.
Keith,
yes,
and Scotty and the other callers and listeners. But what
give
you're
me a call,
talking
Roz,
about
right after the show is over.
No problem, I will. One thing you said, that's funny, because months ago Jenna and I had multiple shows dealing with that concept of character. You know, in the Yoruba language, is called Iwapele, or good character. In the comedic tradition is called Ma'at. And the interesting thing about that is it really sets the trajectory for everything that you are and that you will be known by when you leave here. You know, our ancestors always talk about when a person passes away, all you have is your good works and the name that you leave behind. So you don't want people bad-mouthing you when you leave. You want to have the best character and the best reputation for good and quality work possible when you leave here, because that's all you really take with you, is that. And the way that people live beyond the physical corporeal form is by people saying your name. The more people you have saying your name, and as our ancestors would say, leaving offerings to you due to the work that you did when you were here, then that continues your particular existence in the corporeal world as an ancestor. So when you talk about what you experience, it's very interesting, because when you go through the worst of things, that's when you really will see the character of a person. You always have friends when things are good. People, everybody wants to be close to you when you are financially comfortable, or you have the trappings of life that people might be looking for, whatever those trappings may be. Everybody has their own perceptions and wants and things like that. But ultimately, when things really hit the fan, that's when you get to see someone's character. And I remember many times when I would go to Trinidad and I'd be with my grandmother and whatnot, and she would just have these little conversations with me. And she would always tell me, you know, if somebody comes by your house, you should always have something to offer them, even if you don't have much money, you always try to keep a little something extra. So if someone comes by, you have something to give to them. You know, I always saw her feed the entire neighborhood. My grandmother used to have a chicken farm, and I watched her kill a chicken, get the feathers off, and she had a giant pot that could fit all four burners on the stove. And she would make this gigantic, it looked like a vat, just of chicken food.
Right,
and I would be running
through
the neighborhood, you know, going to different, you know, older women that she was very close with, dropping off bowls of soup. And when they were finished, you know, I would go and pick them back up and bring them home. So this was the type of stuff I did regularly. And
Roz, real quick. I had to just interrupt you. And that's important because that seeded you to be the individual that you are now.
You are exactly correct, because it's funny. When I was coming up, because of the issues my parents had with each other, my mother always gave me a moral foundation, but she confused it for me. Because her and my father didn't get along, I was allowed to do negative things to him on her behalf. That was the type of upbringing I had. So when I started running the street, I started using this dichotomous way of viewing the world. If I didn't like you, or I had an issue with you, or if, you know, I just needed something and you had it, it was okay if I went to get it because I didn't have it. And as I got older, and especially once I got into my spiritual practice, that's when all of the old stuff that grandma used to sit me on her knee and talk about and the things I used to do came back. And I'm like, well, that's really the way things are supposed to be, not the way that, you know, my mom taught me. And I started to really see that there was a selfishness in her perception that facilitated her moral character, even though she was a good person. These things you never really understand as a parent, the effect it has on your child, because these were things that I experienced at an impressionable age. So once I had problems at home and she had thrown me out and I was in the street and I didn't have anything, then that dichotomous view took over, because it was the way of survival for me at that point. And then once I got to a place where I was able to, you know, sit and assess my life and see where I really wanted to go with my existence at that point, which was around the time that my son was coming into the world, that was when I really did a complete overhaul and started to really go back to the things that I had gotten from my elders. And it just changed everything. So the character, the aspect of character is usually something you've always had. Sometimes you lose it just based on life experience. You might put it aside for a moment, or you might just compartmentalize it, because life has you in a state where you're thinking that there's a better way than the way that you always were told. And then once you have enough experience, you realize that the old way was always the best way. So these are all things we go through, but when we deal with people, the main thing, and I've said that on those programs that Jenna and I did, is that character is of the utmost importance, not just in the good times, but especially in the bad times, because that's when you get to see who a person really is, and you want to make sure that that person isn't really ugly. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was when you were talking about the way things happen and things that can go wrong. Now, when, you know, you might have a plan and things can go in a way that doesn't land in your favor. And in the African traditional religions, you have a deity, especially in the Ifa tradition of the Yoruba people. His name is Eshu. And when these Africans encountered Christians, they erroneously named this deity the devil, which he wasn't the devil. He was basically the deity in charge of paths, doors, and roads, and also what you would call chance and luck. And before every ceremony, he's always the first deity to be appeased, because he has the power to ruin the ceremony or make it go without any hitches whatsoever. And that's his history in the pantheon. So every ritual, you always give an offering to him and you say a prayer that you would have good auspicious things take place at your event. And as long as he's appeased, everything goes smoothly. There's times when he's not appeased and he makes it known, because things get marred. So there's no such thing as luck. It's really about how you tune into the spiritual frequency and how it responds to you. And that is based on your character. With that, I'll mute myself. Thanks, brother.
You know, it was, Roz, there's a couple of things there. You know, what your grandmother was teaching you and what your grandmother taught you, that you always recount those things and how valuable they are, because that puts you having a spiritual constitution that is in the image of the great creator that has given to us and who we're supposed to be. And then what happens is that the bad that we learn comes from the world. And it's always, the world always says, the world always has a never enough appetite. They always want more. Doesn't matter what you did. It's what have you done for me lately. It's always a matter of give, 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 give. Give to me, give to me, give to me. And there are so many people that are professional receivers. I call them professional receivers. They only call when they want something. They only come around when they want something. Every time they see you, they want you to give them something. And if you really think about it, that's how this system has indoctrinated us to always think and to respond in our relationships to others. What can you do for me? And it's not like the great creator of what can be given. So hold on, Keith wanted to chime in real quick. Let me get him chimed in here. There we go. One sec, Keith. Let me mute myself.
Dave, I think just to piggyback on what you were saying, I think it's very interesting. A lot of times we hear of a sin where we're here, we pray to forgive us for our iniquity. Iniquity is actually, it's a sin that encompasses selfishness. So that receivership ability you're talking about is actually natural to us. That's natural. But what has happened and what often happens is we realize that. So we teach our kids over and over and over again not to be that way. So anybody that raises kids, never hardly do you have to say, Johnny, you're doing this the right way. Let me teach you the wrong way. We do the wrong way naturally. But because we know it's wrong, we have to condition ourselves, raise our kids not to be that way. And that's the way it's been. But Dave, you're exactly right, because now we are taught to be selfish. We're taught to be self-absorbed. We're taught that everything comes from us, which goes back to our natural nature again. So what has happened is we've gone from our natural selves to what we are to a knowledge that we shouldn't be that way. We teach our kids to be that way. But now we reverse that, and now we're going back to the other way to teach ourselves to be natural. So I think those things that you guys are saying are very important. And why they're so important is because we suffer from these things oftentimes, and we're not even aware of it. So how do you fix what you don't know is broken? And that's why the word says study, because you have to learn these things. And it gets so important, like I was talking to you earlier today, Dave, and just a generation ago, our parents and our grandparents had a wealth of knowledge that we no longer have. And that's why these forums and these conversations are so important, because if this knowledge dies, we die with it.
Yeah, so man, Keith, so true. That knowledge is not passed on as an inheritance, so we become debased. Our moral structure becomes compromised, and it's so true. Because if you really think about a lot of the things our great grandparents, for those of you that were fortunate enough to have your great great parents, and even the extension of your grandparents, those things that you were taught by them. Were actual, when you look at it, they were moral principles. The moral principles. And that becomes very vital, because if you look at what's being taught now, it's just the opposite. Everything is about a selfie. And so that overall mentality of selfishness has become a new religion. And it has its false gods and its false deities and its falsehoods that are attached to that overall religion of me. And I'm going to tell you that the system knew exactly what it was doing when it created smartphones, because it didn't bring the smartphones until it had the overall general population dumb enough to accept the smartphone. Smartphones for dumb people. And if you really think, don't take offense to it, to what I'm saying, just hear me out what I'm saying. You have a smartphone that's a direct attack on you, saying that the system now is comfortable enough to bring in a smartphone because they realize that you're dumb enough for it now. Here's what happens. Smartphone for dumb people. How many of you remember how keen your mind was on numbers before smartphones? How many of you remember how keen and how aware and in tune you were to everything, to where you can get navigate your city and tell someone else how to get anywhere in the city by directions, not by GPS, not by Google Maps, not by their phone, telling them, turn here, left turn on Baker. You did. Nowadays, you can't even get around the corner without Googling it. Are using your overall smartphone, because the system, if you listen to, there's a couple of families, and one of the families had instituted where they actually created the Board of Education, and really what they actually created was the Board of Dumbutization. And they realized in order for them to maintain control, they had to have people dependent upon them and actually relying on them to provide the overall solutions for people not to think for themselves. Look at just with your overall smartphone, so-called smartphones, what you were able to do before. And most of us say, well, it was a convenience. And I'm going to tell you something. The deal of the devil is always conveniently to get you to wickedness. It's always convenient. It's always the easy road. It's never. I'm going to tell you, every path the devil pays is concreted. It has lanes. It's easy to get on, and you can drive fast on them. When the great creator makes a path, it's going to be uphill, downhill, sideways. The slopes are going to be at different degrees. There's going to be trees that you're going to have to go through and bushes that you're going to. It's not going to be easy. But what it's going to do is going to be a path that very few travel. And the prosperity of traveling that path is going to be extremely wealthy for you, because money does grow on trees, because every bush, every tree along the way can provide for you nourishment and sustenance. The freeways and the highways lead you to man's destruction, economic destruction. And so, didn't mean to go off on this, but that is just the truth. And I think Keith wanted to jump back in. Let me let Keith jump back in, then we're going to get into what's in the news in today's show. One sec, let me let Keith jump in.
Jump in. I really didn't want to jump in, but I'm mesmerized by the knowledge that he's put out. And in so many ways, things aren't as they seem. Dave is exactly right. Even I preached yesterday, and some of the things that I was talking about was that the Lord's way says, you know what? If he does something, if he wants you to move, he's going to make you uncomfortable. If he wants you to grow, he's going to put you in a position that you don't want to be in. And that holds true with almost anything. Look, if you're competing in any sports, to be the best, you have to go through a regime of massive work, labor, stress, and everything else. Nobody grows in their comfort zone. Nobody grows where it gets better in a environment of ease. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why he says, you know what? He says, I share my inheritance with those who suffer with me, because it's only through suffering do we get to be where we need to be. It reminds me of a butterfly, and they took an experiment. And if you ever watch a butterfly busting out of a cocoon, it's a major, major task of labor on that butterfly's behalf. And they have to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight to get out of that cocoon. Well, what they found was if you took a small razor blade and you just cut that cocoon just a little bit to help that butterfly, what they found is because that cocoon didn't, that butterfly didn't fight the way that it needed to fight to get out of the cocoon, when it's out, it doesn't have the strength that it needed to survive.
Man, you know, it's, this is what I think is important about our show, is that we go in different directions. We never follow the script. Is whatever comes, we go. And I never knew about that butterfly, but it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense. And it actually happens within our overall lives as well, when there's, you know, in conception, there are many fighting for the egg. And all the ones that don't make it, they die. And see, man has put us in to teach us to be a fearful of so-called a transformation, when we should be rejoicing in it at all times, because it's a natural process of the promise. So I want to just say one more thing about smartphones. And I would challenge you to, with those of you, because I want us to have our young people and even ourselves, our adults, in you know, mid-age adults and older adults, we're going to have to get away from technology and some things. Yes, the convenience is nice, but it comes at a price. It comes at a price. I would say to you, for those of you that have children and grandchildren, you remember when you were growing up before the advent of the smartphone and before they perfected the having people in a position that would want that. You knew where every new store was. You knew where everything was around in your community. Not only did you know that, you know, and you knew intrinsic important things about the community in which you lived in, and not only that, the people that were there. One of the things, if you notice in neighborhoods nowadays, is that people do not engage in their relationships with their neighbors. And do you know why that is? It's because the advent of the smartphone.
The social web.
Because of the actual digital dementia. And I found out a new word, digital dementia, that the senior pastor at Pastor Keith's church, you know, brought to my attention. He called the digital dementia. And what happens is that our young people and everyone in the so-called smart age, and this is why I say smartphones for dumb people, it's destroyed their overall ability to interact with people. Their social development has compromised. And let me tell you something. There is no greater destruction of the image of the great creator than not being able to relate with another. If you want to destroy that image and recreate it in a different way and under a different realm, what do you first do? Destroy their relationships among themselves. Have them have a relationship. I see people, everybody walking down, nobody walking up. Most people, young people and most people in today's, they don't care about what's going on in the sky. And do you know the handwriting is in the skies? Keith had a sermon yesterday with the handwriting on the wall and the importance of it and what it really meant and how it applies to our lives today. And I thought it was very significant that, you know, that is a part of, you know, today's show. And it's up to us to be able to discern what's beneficial, what's benevolent, and we have to be able to discern off of our spiritual constitution what isn't. And we get bombarded by so much of it that we let our guard down to where we no longer even develop. It's not just our digital dementia that is in place. It's our spiritual dementia that is under a stroke. And we're paralyzed by that now. We've lost the ability to use one part of our body, of our spiritual body. And it's moving over that overall handicap and the actual paralysis is moving from one side to all sides. And I'm going to tell you, there is no religious ritual that you can practice that will get that overall spiritual body back into functioning measures. And this is, in my opinion, this is what this has all been about. I would say this. This is what I would want you to do. A little exercise. Go to the young people in your family and everyone else in your family and ask them to navigate, to find something. Where something is, for your young people, ask them to get you around the corner or 5 or 6 blocks away, 10 blocks away from your home. And be able to get back home without the phone and see if they can do it. Here's why that's so important, because Pastor Keith and the listeners of Tando Radio Show, it may be important for them to be able to get home because they may be at some mall, they may be at some friend's house, they may be at a sporting event somewhere else that's 5, 6, 10 miles away from home, and the lights go out, and what are they going to be able to do? The lights go out and their phone is dead. What's going to happen? They're going to sit there and cry? When we were growing up without the advent of smartphones for dumb people, my mother used to get so mad at me. I used to have to tell my mom, I'm going to take the trash out so I could get outside. It was a fight for me to get outside. You can't push a kid out the door today. I used to fight with my mom. I used to tell my mom the trash is, I need to take the trash out. I used to make up trash, put it in the bag, and say, Mom, the trash is full. I need to take the trash out. And she said, boy, you take that trash out and you bring your little butt back in this house. Because she knew that once I left that door, it was over. I would take the trash out for about 20 hours. It would take me 20 hours to take it to the disposal because I wouldn't come back home. I was gone. And you all know from some of you that are mid-age growing up, you knew where everything was. You knew the shortcuts to get to everywhere, to get to everybody's house and to everything. And not only did you know, all your friends knew too. You would meet each other on the pathways going to different places and things. And you could go out. I grew up in New Jersey. I lived in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, about 5 miles out of New York City. But I would end up in New York City, in Brooklyn, East New York. I would end up in South Jersey. It would take me 6, 7 hours to get to where I was going on bicycle. But then it would take me 6, 7 hours to get back. So that's a 14-hour day that I was gone. And you know, my mother was worried sick about where, but she come to realize that as I got older, there wasn't any place that she couldn't ask, David, I need to get here, I need to get there, and I couldn't take her right away. She knew if she needed to go somewhere fast, she would just leave. But if she needed to go far, she would have to call me. How many of our young people can do that now? Absolutely very, very few can do it. And here's the importance of that. What happens when things go awry here in this country? And our children are away from or don't have the overall smartphone that they can access. How will they get home? Keith, I'm worried about people, young people, 4 blocks away from home that they might get going the wrong direction. 4 blocks from their home. So just wanted to say that. So listen, let me get into today's show. But before we get into today's show, let me hit a couple of things on what's in the news, because Raj posted some good things what's in the news, and there's a specific article that I want to talk about for today's show. So let me get into – all right, so I want to bring more of some of the things that Raj – because Raj took the time to post it, so I definitely want to give you all some of the things that he thought was significant to post. All right, so this article from Raj is from Mini Press News. War in the Horn of Africa may be on the horizon for the U.S. This is Raj, I'm glad you posted this. We posted this last week as well. Very important that you all read that. Check that out. Next article, MBS. Yemen should shiver for generations when they hear Saudi Arabia. And so that was an article that was there. Next article Raj posted from, this one is from, I never seen this one, RINF Alternative News. Is the Mueller investigation prepared to indict WikiLeaks editor Julian Assange? So check out that article. All plays together. Next article from Active Post, Raj posted. U.S. strategy in Syria to create quagmires until we get what we want. Very important article. Read this. So true. Now, let me just say this about that. See, when you look at Syria, you'll say, wait a minute. You'll get so confused. Wait a minute. The U.S. is supporting terrorist groups and then attacking terrorist groups. They're all the same. Then now some of the terrorist groups that have the U.S. backing is now supporting the Assad government. It's a quagmire. Why is that? Because it's the art of confusion. The U.S. is doing what bankers do. They fund both sides of the war. See, and it becomes confusing to you and I because we are the victims of it all. Because we're the intended victims for it. So it doesn't make sense to us. And one of the things that you have to understand when you're looking at governing is that the sense that they have is for control. The sense that they teach you to is to obedience. So when you have an obedient mindset, you can never understand the extent of control. Because you would always say, as being obedient, is that I'm obedient, I wouldn't do that, so they wouldn't do that. Nah, that wouldn't happen. That's because you have a mindset of obedience. You've been indoctrinated in school to obey, not discern the overall spirit of control. Because if you know about the spirit of control, you know that there is nothing that it wouldn't do to gain leverage, to get momentum, to have an advantage. This is why those individuals don't even think about people that have an obedience mindset. They don't even think about, they call everything a conspiracy theory because they can't conceptualize the true nature of discernment of the spirit of control. It will stop at nothing and do nothing and will throw in all forms of confusion to get what it wants. What it wants is control. That's the objective. The method is to create chaos to get it. Great article, Raj. Next article, Raj, Active Post, he put Pennsylvania AMI smart meter survey reports horrible stories. Yeah, they're putting those smart meters everywhere. So check out that. And I've got to hurry up with a couple of more. Raj posted from Waking Times. And Raj's commentary said, children learn slow from from the adults. Yes, childhood obesity rates expected to grow tenfold by 2020. Tenfold, yes. Check out that article. Next article, Raj posted from Anti-Media. Iran just moved ballistic missiles to Iraq within easy striking distance of Iran. I mean, of Israel. Check out that article. And then Anti-Media, Raj posted the U.S. and to end all funding in U.S. and U.N. agencies that help the Palestinian refugees is all the setup for the overall war. And next one from Anti-Media, Raj posted Israel threatened to use nuclear weapons to wipe out its enemies. Nothing new there. Has definitely been a part of it. So, and then also another article, Raj posts is Russian anti-submarine aircraft arrives in, excuse me, Russian anti-submarine aircraft arrive in Syria for massive naval war games. Right now, the Russian military, in being supported by other governments and augmented by other governments, are engaging in one of the largest naval war games. And this is the common theme. There are major war games on historical levels throughout the world. There's one in Eastern Europe between the Russians and the Chinese. There's one in Syria, and there's one in the South Sea of China that's going on right now. These major war games are happening because at any moment, in my estimation, is that a overall spark of war will start. And one of the things with the significant with the Syrian one, with the Navy, Russian Navy, is they're trying to push the U.S. naval armada away from Syria, close enough to strike Syria for the next false flag that will probably be in, and that's why they're placing that those overall naval assets there. And the overall confrontations are going to, the likelihood of a confrontation is going to be great in the next coming months, weeks, days, and hours. Reason why you need to prepare. So that was some of the articles. And then one more before, and we're going to do this until the top of the hour, then we're going to jump into today's show. Then also Roz posted, I had also posted the actual large naval exercise between Japan and the U.S. in the South Sea of China, and that is there, and that was a RORTS, a RT, Japan's largest warship training with the U.S. Naval Strike Group in contesting South Sea of China. Check out that article. And then also I posted the as well with Roz, some of the same stories around. But let me couple of articles that I think is very critical that I posted in 2 minutes. And then we're gonna get into today's show. This one comes from Press TV. U.S. military can intervene in Venezuela, says Senator Rubio. Because that's what celebrity figurehead Trump wanted to do, and it is definitely going to happen. They're giving you the heads up. This is the overall global war that is going to happen. Next one is from ING Think. Very important. Dethroning the king. 5 ways Trump could weaken the U.S. dollar. And if ING is saying it, you need to be aware of it because it's probably already happening. It has. One of the articles that I have to talk about with you all is going to be a mainstay for the next part of the show. I posted an article from a general, and it was from the Military Times. And Keith, this is going to be critical for today's show, and wanted you all to hear it. From Military Times, the homeland is no longer a sanctuary amidst a rising near-peer threat, NORTHCOM commander says. This is an article that we're going to take a look at, and to let you know, and it's very important because of things that are happening, and that is going to be one of the mainstays for today's show. Then we posted some other articles that are very, very, very important that are there. You should check out. And so that's what we're going to do in today's show. Just before we go to our commercial break, if you'd like to get in on a conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056. When we come back, we're going to start today's show. The U.S. has become a laggard nation, slowly gripped and inattentive. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why they're inattentive and slowly gripped is because of the advent of the smartphone for dumb people. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and keep going. And Scotty may have been busy. That's okay. So we got another caller before we get into today's show, but I'm just going to set the stage for today's show. You know, our co-host, my brother Keith, is here. Keith gave a great message yesterday. The sermon that he gave was great, and it was about – the handwriting on the wall. And that was from the book of Daniel. And it's really critical and I think and important to what's going on today. And so one of the things that I had actually saw and was and I read was, and Mario, we're going to come to you in 1 second, was that there was an article that was put out by Military Times. By Military Times. And the article was that said that the United States, and I would rephrase this, and they said the homeland is no longer a sanctuary. And that word homeland, and we in thinking about the homeland, whenever I hear homeland, I know that that's codified speaking for the third and fourth right of the Nazi cult party, because the Nazis of the third right of Germany was not a political party. They were actually an occult. And this was the language that they used, the homeland. But the article says the homeland is no longer a sanctuary. Why did they say homeland? Because they have what? What's the organization? What's that one organization, governmental organization? Department of Homeland Security. And if you look at the advent of the Department of Homeland Security, where they really cut their teeth from was that was the program, the departments or the organizations that the Nazis had made. And this is the codified language that's being spoken to us, and this is the handwriting on the wall. And the thing about the handwriting on the wall is either you either can't interpret what the handwriting on the wall is, or you can't. You either can or you can't. And if you can interpret it, you can see what it means. And if you can't interpret it, it has to be interpreted for you by someone else. And it's generally that interpretation that someone else is going to be interpreting for you is because the handwriting on the wall is against you. And this is very, very important. And the handwriting that's on the wall that's here, that's very, very important, and we're going to take a look at this article. The homeland is no longer a sanctuary. See, they put that word sanctuary there. It was purposely put there. That word sanctuary was purposely put there. And the word sanctuary was put there because the overall advent of the corporation of the United States was actually the same ritual practice as the Nazis. And they consider the overall direction, the overall culture, the overall religious ritual practice that the U.S. engages in is that of the Third Reich of the Nazis. And they consider this the sanctuary, one of the sanctuaries to where they can always go to make sure that their agenda is being set forth. This is why they can legalize and moralize depopulation throughout the world, and every U.S. citizen here will buy it as saying, well, this is just what we have to do. Because this is how the ritual practice gets you to obey and excuse and ignore the ills and the directions that's set forth by the corporation of the U.S. It's their sanctuary. And everything in their sanctuary is what? Critically important to their establishment of their institution. It's sacred. And this is where they get the homeland from. And the sanctuary is what's sacred to them. How this country governs and uses its overall controlling influence around the world is how they're able to hide their demonic ritual practice of depopulation, subjugation, enslavement, And it's all done right there. But see, they trick a lot of people and they trick a lot of us by giving and working off of what you think that they're doing, because they told you that's what they want you to believe. They give you a personification of which they want you to think, but it's an adverse to what they actually do. How in the world can we not be upset about political serial killers? What's the difference between a crazy person going around killing people and the overall policies and procedures of the U.S. government? The overall crazy person that we say is a serial killer will be telling the overall government that they need to prosecute them. How are you going to tell them to prosecute what they do themselves? Who's warped here? There's something that's wrong here. See, they have justifiable homicide. There is no such thing. And until we realize and take the truth for what it is, once again, the truth don't need us. We need the truth. There is no difference from the crazy person that goes around killing people as one individual than it does for it to come by government sanction. No different. No different absolutely at all. So, listen, before we get too deep in the show, I want to we got another caller in queue out of ATL. Welcome, Mario, to Tando Radio Show. What say you, bro? Good to hear from you.
What's going on, Brother Dave? How you feeling?
What's going on, Mario? What say you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. Greetings to the family. Long time no hear from. You changed times on me. I had to find you, brother.
Yes, I had to change the times. What's going on, Mario?
Oh, man, it's a powerful show, man. I just had a couple comments, and I had a question for you. I definitely hear what you're saying on the homeland. I think the family needs to be aware of language that is often used and perspective, because when they say homeland, whose land are they referring to? And we already know that they are adept at, creating corporate fiction, but when they're referring to a homeland, I think they are referring to their own particular utopia and things that they have to do to implement that utopia for their own benefit, which is going to be to the detriment of other populations, which we already know who the target is on that. So I think that was a very profound statement, analogy that you were making, and I'm hoping that the family, was picking up on that. Also, you were mentioning the weakening of the dollar once again. So I had a question for you, brother, and I was wondering if you had heard of the carat bars that are, I guess, becoming popular, which are small denominations of gold, but I think the company is based out of Germany, but mm-hmm. Apparently you can get small denominations of gold, which is going to be on the rise as the economy continues to crash. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and if you heard anything about that.
Yes, I've heard of carat bars, and yes, heard about them. Very familiar with what they do. And because of Prosperity Mint, what I don't do is I won't comment on the company, just because it's just not prudent for me to comment on a company because of my relationship.
Let me rephrase the question, because what I was really wondering is first and foremost, does Prosperity Mint offer a service like that, or is there a possibility to setting up a similar service over on this side of the, of the ocean?
Yes. Well, yes, Prosperity Mint does offer that exact same thing, but at a better position for its clients and customers, way better. And there's things that I would talk about privately with people on that one. So, Mario, give me a call, and I'll tell you why. Okay. In a private thing, but what I don't want to do is that I want to leave business matters for business things, because I have a relationship with Prosperity Mint and I don't have a relationship with Carat Bars, and there's a reason why that I don't have a relationship with Carat Bars. I actually could have been a part of Carat Bars, but I chose not to because it's not, in my opinion, is not the best way to engage in that overall field of protection.
Understood. I look forward to corresponding with you offline, then, brother. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Yes, sir. Good to hear from you. So we're going to get back to my man, Mario. Always love hearing from Mario. Good to hear from him. So let me get back to the article. It says, so here's what it says, military time, and it's right here in front of you. Let's check it out. Let's read it. The homeland is no longer a sanctuary amidst rising near-peer threats. Near-peer threats. What are they saying there? Amidst, because you have to break everything down, and we have to read between the lines. Amidst rising near-peer threat. What does that mean? The NORTHCOM commander says, okay, so let me give you my interpretation. This is my opinion. Near peer means that someone very close to you. Peer is what? Just as a peer. And what is a peer to the United States? That means that you have to have what? You have to have economic stability. You have to have geopolitical stability. And you have to have military capability on the same par as the U.S. Now that's a peer. When someone says that you have your peers, that means that there is some equality that you share with them. So who's the near peer? The near peer that they're speaking about is North America, north of the U.S., Canada, and south of the U.S., Mexico. Now, what does that mean? That the U.S. is saying that near peer is someone close to them. They are admitting that, this is what they're admitting, that Canada is now a foe and enemy of theirs, with nuclear capability that's actually being subsidized and augmented by who? Britain. Who is augmenting? Mexico, the hand of convenience known as China. This is why this NAFTA thing is so big. So that's what the rising near peer threat. Let's go to the article. New Orleans, and this was from last week, I believe it was. I like to give the dates. It says 6 days ago. Okay. New Orleans, the United States homeland is no longer a sanctuary, according to a four-star general in charge of both U.S. North Command and North American Aerospace Defense Command. Pretty high command. And see, most people only will take some measure of truth if it comes from a person of so-called established authority. This is because most people are indoctrinated to always to obey and not think for themselves. It's very important that you think for yourself and be able to discern for yourself. It doesn't matter what the overall so-called authority is. It's a facade. But Air Force General Terrence O'Shaughnessy ended a speech at the 140th National Guard Association Conference in New Orleans this weekend and warned that the era of great power competition doesn't leave the U.S. mainland uncontested. What did he just say right there? That in the next war, that the U.S. mainland will be hit with something that has never been hit before with. It will be hit militarily by outside forces and from within, inside and outside. See, what the U.S. was able to keep, what the U.S. was able to export to other countries by destabilizing their countries through war, civil war, and war zone, now the U.S. mainland will not be exempt from that. This is what he's admitting to you when reading between the lines, folks. And it goes on. He says this. peer-level adversaries are probing U.S. defenses in multiple domains, and the continental United States is well within their sights. We are in a changing security environment, O'Shaughnessy said. We used to think about the sanctuary we have with oceans and friendly countries to our north and south, but that's changing with adversaries that are actually able to reach out and touch us now. He said, we used to think about sanctuaries, the sanctuaries we had with oceans, meaning there was a great distance between China and Russia getting to us. But now the influence of China and Russia is right at our door now. And when I say at our door, that's what he's saying. I don't call this mine because it's not. See, what he was saying is that the oceans that had the overall natural barriers to keep the U.S. in a position of advantage to where they can wreak all havoc and hell across the borders, across the waters, and no one can get them because they couldn't travel those waters to get to the U.S. Now, that's been compromised. Here's why it's been compromised, ladies and gentlemen. It's not only been physically compromised, but it's been compromised digitally through your smartphone. Now that makes adversaries from oceans away accessible to touching and responding and defending themselves from the U.S. It's the device that's in your hand. It's the over-attachment to the digital world that makes the U.S. vulnerable now. And without, where they can be touched now, no one is out of reach digitally because it's all interconnected. He didn't say it, but that's the truth. That's what he was saying. But then not only that, with the relationships and the treaties that are being established. Remember, the UK, France, and Germany said they need to establish a new economic system in advent to the U.S. They actually have called the U.S. an enemy. France came out and said that they need to have military alliance with Russia last week, meaning that the U.S. is an enemy now. So what does that mean? That means that their overall measures of protecting themselves, because they know that the U.S. is going to strike them economically, politically, and physically, and cyberly. So what do they need to do? Sometimes you need the best defense is what? A better offense. So this is where Canada, most people says, nah, it's not Canada. It's absolutely Canada. It's not only Canada, it's Alaska, which is originally Russia's. And the Arctic. China and Russia have positioned assets in the Arctic because of the resources, natural resources there, and the overall advantage that gives to do what? Destabilizing the U.S. See, what's happening is the U.S. is being cut off from the rest of the world. Because at some point in some time, all of these countries are going to sanction the U.S., and there's not one ship or plane that will be able to leave to get supplies in or out of the U.S. So he says that, one more time, we used to think about the sanctuary we had with oceans and friendly countries to our north and to our south. Let's take a look at who's to the south, Keith. Mexico. El Salvador, Central America, the Panama Canal, Venezuela. And one of the key ones is Panama. Panama is probably the most critical importance to your overall standard of living and quality of life because of the Panama Canal. Guess who controls the Panama Canal now? The new beacon of freedom for the future is coming out of the Far East. China controls the Panama Canal. And most of us, and it was something that Keith sent me. He said, and it was so true. Keith sent me a little saying, and it kind of floored me. It set me down. I forget what it was. Keith, you sent me the thing about privilege. And it said something about people think that a problem, privilege is when people think that a problem doesn't affect them. That's where privilege is. And everything here in everyone in the U.S., and here's the direct quote that Keith sent me last week, and it floored me. Privilege is when you think something is not a problem because it's not a problem to you personally. And everything that is happening, see, what the system has got us to think that if it doesn't affect me, it's not a problem. But not realizing, as Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. See, we always quote King, but we never live by the overall principle teachings of Dr. King, because they were sound and they were true. It doesn't matter if the U.S. is invading countries like Syria, Libya, and we sit here inside of the so-called U.S. and say nothing and do nothing about it. That's because we're privileged that we think. And it doesn't personally affect us, but let me tell you something. That's what the system wants, because then there's a hate that's developed globally against you. And they think that by attacking and destabilizing you, that they're attacking and destabilizing the U.S. because you thought that about Iran, Iraq, and all the other countries, Vietnam, North Korea, Grenada, Panama, Chile, Argentina, Venezuela, Colombia, all through the continent of Africa. See, a privileged mentality sees the handwriting on the wall but can't discern or interpret what it says. And one of the things that I took was so profound, because in this article, this general says that friendly countries to our north and south, but that is changing with adversaries that are actually able to reach out and touch us now. One of the things that Keith talked about was how in the book of Daniel, how they thought that they were so safe. They thought that their city was a sanctuary. They thought that their walls were impenetrable. And they thought that they would be all right. And that's so true, because most people, when you talk to them, when you talk about how the overall development of the overall BRIC nations and the treaties and alliances, one, Keith, people never even heard about that. They're naive. They say, BRIC who? No, I don't need a BRIC. No, have you heard of BRICS? Yeah, we built a house with them. No. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, there's going to add the T to it with Turkey pretty soon. No, I never heard of that. What does that matter to me? See, because we obey what the mass media puts and propaganda they put in front of us, because we're such fans and fanatics and believers of that, we are ignorant to what's really going on and the significance thereof of that. See, during that time, when the overall armies, the Persians were surrounding the city, those that were in the city couldn't even see them coming because the walls were so high and so thick. They couldn't hear them nor see them. So they didn't know that the threat had already arrived and the threat had already won. But they thought that it was time to party because everything was all right. You never ever been conquered before. But see, right now what's happening is that the overall armies of the world are positioning themselves. And we can't see it here in the United States because we have a falsehood. We have, there's a continence dissidence that we have, and we have a normalcy bias issue. Our normalcy bias is that everything is always going to be all right, you in the U.S. That is not true. The actual truth is that it's over already. It's just that your privilege hasn't become poverty yet. And actually, it really has. So the general was saying, it's over. There is no sanctuary in the U.S. anymore. And if you really look at it, he basically said that the facade that you live by is about to get challenged. What is the facade? A facade is something, or a mirage. A mirage and a facade. A facade is, most people think that the sky is blue. Not blue. A mirage is what you, because you're so disorientated, you're suffering through hunger or heat stroke, that your eyes start to play tricks on you, start to see things that's not there. It is your overall, it is how your body is moving to where it doesn't have the sufficient energy and minerals and everything else to maintain its full functions. We are not functioning correctly because of all of the GMOs and because of all of the poison and everything else. So what happens is that our mind is in our bodies, in our brain, and our nervous, central nervous system isn't getting the proper nutrition to be able to do what? Discern and see clearly. It's got mirages in front of it. And the mirage that we think is that there's something called the greatest, wealthiest country in the world. That's moonlight, y'all. Ain't no such thing. The moon don't have no light. It's a facade. It's a mirage. And it's very important that we know these things and that we respond to it appropriately. You know, it's wise. It always has been wise throughout human history to prepare. And the advent of technology does not mitigate the necessity for you to prepare. It actually exacerbates the need to prepare even more. Because the thing about technology is that it's fragile. It's so fragile that it's unstable. Completely unstable. What is strong? What is rigid? What is steadfast? I'll tell you what it is. It's antiquated, old technology that's built off of assets. Meaning this, having a device that can tell you where to go is not the smartest thing. Having the intrinsic knowledge to know where to go is priceless. Where you can do, you knowing that where north, south, east, and west is, you knowing how to get there on your own based off of the asset and intrinsic value of your talents and your ability is better than modern technology through phones, because that overall technology is extremely fragile. It's wet paper fragile. And I just wanted to, as we get ready to go into the commercial break, I want you to really think about What's being admitted to? See, the system knows that it's got everybody right where they want them. Not just here, everywhere. Because they dictate the narrative that everyone believes. They put in front of you what they want you to see. And how they do it is that they'll pave a highway and they'll make a bridge so that you will go in a direction that they need you to go in. And don't forget about the toll that you have to pay along the way. What man has created has not been for the overall edification and development of mankind. It's actually been created for the edification and development of those that control the resources that mankind needs. That's one of the truths that's very, very real. Listening to Tando Radio Show. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to expand on this a little bit more. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Okay, we're not going to go into the commercial break. We're going to roll right into it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And the reason why I wanted to bring this article from the Military Times is because, just to let you know, that you need to be prepared for it, because the overall system is preparing to challenge and to reestablish, to shake up, then rebuild, to destroy, and to have through destruction more critical structural control over everyone's lives. And so when this general said that we used to have friendly nations to our north and to our south, basically don't have that anymore. So if you have to look at that and reading between the lines, it's not just militarily, but it's cyberly first. Through the cyberspace world first. Because he said that the U.S. used to have a sanctuary where people couldn't reach the U.S. because of the natural barriers of the ocean. Well, how do you prevent that anymore? Easy. You attack the economy by digital connection, by digital, the tapestry of everything economically is tied into to a centralized platform. And by controlling the overall economic algorithm. And what does that mean? That basically means it controls you. Here's how it controls you. As these war games in Russia with China and in Syria and in the Strait of Hormuz, in the Horn of Africa, in the South Sea of China, in the Arctic, in South America, as these overall asset positionings of confrontation continues to develop, the one that's going to hit us very quickly and going to show how fragile we have become and our dependency on these phones have been so significant is going to be in the cyberspace world and realm. And let me tell you how easy it is to hack and to compromise someone cyber-wise. Well, I better not say it, huh, Keith, because then it give out too much information. Well, let me just say it's very easy. It's easy as just having someone to do some work for you. I'm not going to say directly how it is because I don't want to give any ideas to people that may have not thought about it. We're extremely vulnerable. You can tap into there are teenagers that can tap into classified material because of the back doors that have already been established and put into place. Why are those back doors Because, see, the thing about when you establish manipulation is that there's a methodology that you have to use, and if someone figures out how you're using it, now they can use it as well. And you can't shut it off, because if you shut it off, that means that your assets won't be able to do what they needed to do. They call that a part of just the price of doing business. Everyone is extremely vulnerable. The key is not to make yourself so vulnerable to cyber. How do you do that? We go back to our old ancestral ways of what your great-grandparents used to do. Your great-grandparents had, when you remember, Keith, when you went to your great-grandparents, or you can imagine going to your great-great, just think about going to your great-great-grandparents' home. What they have, all of the latest digital equipment and computers all over the place, what they have, smart TVs, what they have, a smart home that you can unlock your home from your phone, or can have a camera to see this, a camera to see that. You can't even get into your home with a key. Nobody uses keys anymore, and we're falling for that? So what is that going to do? That's going to get rid of what? One of the ancient vocations of locksmiths. Locksmiths won't even be needed anymore. So if there's not a locksmith that's needed anymore, guess what? Everybody's a locksmith now, because everybody has the master key. It's called a hacking device. They can cut everybody's lights on, cut them all off, open everybody's door, start everybody's car, stop everybody's car. One day people are going to file a missing persons report. But it's going to call a missing persons report for a car. No, my car was stolen this way. I came out. It was nobody in it. It was just driving away. Because that overall capability and that vulnerability is there. People are going to watch their car. You're going to be late. People are going to be late 1 hour on their car note. Do you realize that they're going to repossess cars? The repo man is going to be sitting at, is going to be one repo man sitting at a computer pulling up everybody's car that's 1 hour late on their overall car note, and the car just backs out of their garage. It's going to open up the garage door, back the car out the garage, and take it straight to them. Boy, we don't know what we don't know, because we think about things that are fantasy. I just had a fantasy draft yesterday, and I said, this is ridiculous, David, you engaging in this again. But I thought about, it's not only fantasy football that I'm engaged in, this system teaches to engage in, but we deal in fantasy life. This is why reality shows and all that other stuff is so popular. It's all fantasy. And so in today's world, our great-great-grandparents had what? They had a storehouse at the home. They had their overall pantry were filled for a season of adversity known as the winter. They had food, a store of food, in case they couldn't get what? To the market. See, in today's world, you can Uber Eats. That's what it's called. Uber Eats. You can have right away delivery from Amazon. Sounds convenient. Sounds good. Yeah, it may work a bunch of times, but guess what happens when the adverse side of when it doesn't work, and see how vulnerable we have, because then we look at our refrigerators, there's nothing there, and then our pantries is empty because we don't need that space anymore. Man, it's the ramifications of how we become so dependent, and how they're able to position them as such a stronghold in our lives, and the methodology and the nomenclature that they use to do that, they didn't get this having this much control overnight. It took years and decades and hundreds of years to establish it, but they were committed to that overall methodical, asymmetrical process. But we don't even want to talk about methodical, asymmetrical process, because that's Chinese arithmetic to us. That discussion isn't worthwhile. We should be talking about the games that's coming up on Sunday, this and that. We talk about nonsense. We engage ourselves in trivial, childish, foolish things. So we make ourselves easy prey and targets. You know, some of the things you can't control, but what we should be focusing on what we can control. And if you look at what you can control, you put yourself in a position of advantage, because more things start to reveal to you. Maybe it's smart, Keith, for us to have an old car that can't be just make the garage door go up, that you would have to have a key to enter in. Don't make it so easy. Yeah, they could break the window, but let me tell you something. Just as we've gotten lazy, the criminals gotten lazier too. They don't even want to go out in the hot sun and break no windows no more. That's too much work.
Here we go, Dave.
It shows, yeah, I'll go to you in 1 second, bro. It shows how inattentive we've become. And it's all a design. We're inattentive to things. We focus on things that mean us, that are actually detrimental to our existence. We aren't even aware of many things. You know, our great-great-grandparents, they not only knew what was going on, they were somehow involved in what it was. They knew what was going on, but they may not have known completely everything. I don't want to, present a falsehood of how much, you know, the control and subjugation of people have been around for a long time. But our inattentiveness is, we're so inattentive that it's actually critical, and it is actually put us in a position of disadvantage. But more than that as well, it's actually put us in a dire, critical state, and we lagger in slowfulness. This is why having an old car would be a beneficial thing. One, you need a key. They may be able to pull your garage door up, but they won't be able to pull the car out, and they're going to be getting rid of all of the equipment that they used to repossess people's cars with in the past. But if you got the actual car, you could be an hour late, 2 hours late, a month late on your overall, get back right with it, and then guess what? They could try to come get your car, and they'll see that they won't be able to remotely start it from anywhere else, because you know why? They got an old car. There's a company that has all this tech, high-tech car and everything else. Y'all don't want to say the name. Y'all know who it is. I wouldn't want to have nothing to do with it. But, you know, I have a car that can be manipulated remotely. If you got anything in the past 7 years, 10 years, you do too. 20 years, you do too. 15 years, you do too. But I also got one. I got an old hoopty. And I keep an old hoopty because being old, Keith, is wise. Being new probably could be narcissistic at best. Excuse me, at worst. So real quick, my man, I think it was Roz that wanted to jump in. Let me get back to Roz. Roz, what say you? Go ahead.
Hey, peace and love. How you doing? Thanks for allowing me to speak again. Yeah, you've been saying stuff that's just powerful. Some of the stuff we've talked about before, because I've talked about the self-driving cars and the fact that there's going to come a time where nobody's going to know how to drive. Nobody's going to really need a driver's license because you're going to be literally handicapped from driving. You know, and when you think about it, now with the self-driving cars, you're right. To repossess the car, all they have to do is hack it, take over it, and drive it back to the dealership or drive it back to whoever's repossessing the vehicle.
To the bank.
If you commit a crime and you jump in one of these new cars, they just drive you to the police station. And the car just sits there, locks you in, and they're waiting. You know, you're basically waiting for the police to come out the police station and arrest you. Like, it's going to be so easy. And we've been put through, like, this psychosocial bottleneck for being conditioned to lose our autonomy in every way possible. When you talk about the social retardation, that's something I've talked about because my son and I have been talking about that since he was in junior high school, just his personal experiences with children that were not able to communicate. They only know how to communicate via text. They don't know how to look you in the eye. They don't even know how to have a conversation on the phone. They'll hang up on you and text you rather than actually pick up the phone and have a verbal conversation. That's how socially retarded we've become. So you have the handicapping of the driving, you have the social retardation, the inability to fully develop human beings because they don't know how to interact or even recognize discomfort and be empathetic towards other human beings. You have a society that now puts these smartphones in the hands of children as young as 2-3 years old so their parents can have them occupied while the parent is on their smartphone for dumb people. So you have children that are being socially retarded from the infant stage. They will never have a fully developed brain. You know, also the vision. Our vision is being compromised. We no longer use our distance vision because we stare at screens that are close up in our face. So the vast majority of humans are being born nearsighted. You know, Dr. Wilson talked about that as well, the narrowing of our field of consciousness that is facilitated by the narrowing of our field of vision via us being trapped in these small little devices that we stare at. So really, it's just a holistic psychosocial conditioning towards complete lack of autonomy, lack of ability to function on your own without being monitored and controlled by the system. And when it gets to that point, it's going to be too late for people to really turn around and go the other way. So all of this preemptive conversation as far as just preemptive responses rather than reactions, but preemptive responses to what we see is coming and what we are experiencing in the here and now is just so vital for us to really take a holistic view of the entire landscape to see that they're literally allowing us to take our own rights away by us indulging in the things that they present to us as an easy fix to our daily reality. We're not able to do simple mathematic equations in our heads. Like you said, a lot of people can't remember numbers anymore. Or just basic things that we used to be able to do from our natural inclinations towards our genius being developed as far as just being truly educated and getting information that can transform your consciousness to now just everything is in a device, go to the device, and then somebody hacks the device and all hell breaks loose, excuse my friend. So yes, I think this is an extremely important discussion and one that hopefully we'll have again down the line. Jenna and I have had it on a few occasions as well, but I think this should be an ongoing conversation because I think a lot of folks, it's going to be too late by the time a lot of our people decide to actually do something about what's happening. And with that, I'll mute myself. Thank you, brother.
Yes, right. And, you know, it's a couple of things. And I think one of the things that we have to really also look at is that now you can really see why the overall push has been for the GMO foods, genetically modified food. Because if your body is not getting the natural ecosystem nourishment that God Almighty has put into place for your brain to work, for your heart to work, for your lungs to work, for your nervous system to work, for your whole psych realm, your energy realm. And the energy is acquired by having the proper nutrition. It enhances that. What happens is that the big push was one part of the GMO world that everybody overlooks is the push of the smartphone. The smartphone is actually a GMO GMO relationship. It's an artificial relationship. How many people go to bed with their phones? How many people say they love their phone? We loving things and using people. And so that is a part of the GMO world, because now we don't get real food. We don't get real proper nourishment. So our body becomes what? Malnourished. And it gets the overall GMO foods. And then guess what the GMO foods perpetuate and promote? Your attachment to a smartphone. We don't even realize that we're nourishing our own demise by these GMO foods. They are actually, GMO foods is another way of saying artificial food or artificial intelligence. This is all goes hand to hand. They work together. How do you know they work together? Because they put it before you. See, the overall, if you were properly nourished through the ecosystem that God, the great creator, has put before us, guess what? Your interest in smartphones wouldn't be there. Here's why. Because you would be too engaged in physical activities and too engaged in relationships with people to have no time for no little box. Your body wouldn't want that. Your body wouldn't attract that. Your body wouldn't see it, wouldn't connect with that energy. So they were very smart in being able to have a complete systematic demise of people artificially. And then, you know, I'm going to tell you, Rod said something about it may be too late. See, it... That is something, and I understand why Ryan said that, because it's going to be a tough battle in order for us to break this whole thing. It's going to require that we have to give up something, and what we are going to have to give up is something that things that we don't really need, but we don't know that anymore. We think, I need my phone. Oh, I need the internet. Relax. You're addicted to it is what it is. You're going to have to come off of that overall drug, because it also affects you psychologically. Do you know that they've actually synchronized the hypnotizing power of the smartphone? They synchronized it in a frequency and you don't even know it. It's called your notification. How many of you, as soon as your phone has a notification, you jump and you run and look? See, what you do is that brings about a habitual response that your body starts to do all the time. So then your body will be what? Addicted to that sound, that frequency. And you'll have to know right away that, hey, I need to respond to that. This is how they hypnotize you. Most people don't like us talking about this, but we really don't care. It's the truth, because we see the adverse side of it. Here's the thing. It's very important. If you want to get away from this, you can get away from it by running away from it as an individual fast. So you can get away from it quickly. But if we really want to make traction in this, ladies and gentlemen, if we really want to make headway with this, we can't travel this journey alone, because we're going to have to travel this journey together so that we can get far. It's not really about individually. You may have made that choice to get somewhere quickly. You can do that. If it's just you, if you're going to run somewhere and you want to get there quickly, what do? You go by yourself. You just pick up your stuff and go. That means you're going to get there quickly, but then you're going to leave everybody else behind. What it is that we really need is that we're going to need to get far. In order for us to get far, we're going to have to do that with everybody, with as many people. It really requires us to Become more engaged. We can't be a laggard, slowful people. Grit. I don't know how many people take pleasure in their ignorance now of things. Because they say ignorance is a bliss. Where do you think that came from? Where did that energy, where did that slogan, where did that agenda, where did that propaganda come from? Who's to benefit by having that saying out? It's not profitable. There's no prosperity in ignorance. There's no prosperity in inattentiveness. There's no prosperity in slowfulness. And in closing, I just want to, Pastor Keith here, you know, Pastor Keith, that reminds me really of the 10 virgins story. And there were those that were wise to bring their own oil. And some traveled unprepared without oil. And then when they got to where they were going and the night started to fall upon them, and then those that traveled thinking that I'll just exploit some other people, I'll receive from the goodness of others, I'll be slowful, I'll be inattentive to what I should be attentive to, because if I want to get somewhere, then that means that I need to be attentive to what? The overall journey that's going to get me there and all of the details and all of the logistical things that need to be put into place to go. See, it's real easy for somebody to pick you up, put you in the seat of the car, and take you somewhere. Because no responsibility is yours to provide for that overall journey and that overall process. You just on for the ride, and you're requiring somebody else to take care of you. So they went, and when the night fall, they had no oil for their lamp. So what did they do? Biblically, it says the foolish went to the wise. See, it always says when you're not prepared for what you should have been prepared for and in tune to, that amounts to foolishness because you ignored it. You rejected the call to be prepared. What did happen to them? They went to them and they asked them for their oil. And what did the wise say? No. If we give you oil, it won't be enough for you and for us. Go buy your oil. Go back and go buy your oil. And when they left to go buy their oil, what happened? The bridegroom came. Because they wasn't prepared to receiving. And it's not only spiritual, but there's also a literal physical slowfulness and inattentiveness that runs from the spiritual into the physical, to where now we sit in front of a device such as a TV and we actually allow it to put us into a state, a catatonic state. And once you go into that catatonic state, they can get into the depths of your mind and start to reconfigure the way that you think and what you believe and what's essential and which is important to you, so that you think that you can just go for the ride and somebody's going to provide for you. And then what happens? As you said, Pastor, the door was shut. Preparing is not just what doomsday preppers made you to believe, because they knew that they would be able to do that, because they knew from creating it from a theatrical store TV storyline that everyone, see, no one believes unless they, how many people get all ramped up and have a great opinion after a movie and don't even realize that that movie was following a script? How many people, because they know that they can, they've actually put everything on a silver screen, and most of us don't know the power of silver, and that's why, but they know it. That's why they put things on the silver screen. because it's the manipulation of frequencies and light in your overall brain that is able to engage your overall thought process. That's why it's called the silver screen, because the frequencies of light is significant there. Man, this is why I close my eyes on a lot of stuff. So listen, I just want to say, the handwriting is on the wall. And it's been on the wall for a long time. And its message has not really changed. When you live by man's homeland and their sanctuaries, it's only a matter of time before your overall sanctuaries will be nullified. And it's upon us now. So, hey, please get prepared. It's in your best interest. It's a lifestyle that you really need to start to engage in, because it actually causes you to become attentive about the logistical necessities of not only you, because then what happens is that you stop becoming an I person. How will I? How will I? How will I? I. You develop an I problem. Then you start thinking about we and us. And you start to align yourself with that type of overall energy, which is so important. You'll start to engage with other individuals that you can be a great benefit to, and they could be a benefit to you too as well. You break down that overall digital dementia, which is really the true dementia of what is disturbing so many people now. It's the truth. It's not the lie. So with that being said, much love, much respect. I just want to thank all the callers, my man Mario, my man Raj, Pastor Keith for being in and co-hosting with us. Scotty, thank you for all of what you do. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And remember, before you ask for a fortune, give one away. Don't be just a taker. Listen, very critical. It's more important to feed the roots instead of just eating all of the fruit. If you don't feed the roots, there will be no fruit that overall tree can bear. Much love and much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.